All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Onside Insight podcast. I'm your host, Corey Tompkins, and today we've got Braden from Zilco Electrical. So episode 18 today, guys, and this one's going to be a good one. We've had a few sparkies on now, but I feel like Braden's going to be able to share a little bit of his journey, and you know, I feel like you're still starting and you're still getting going. Yeah. and stuff like that. Yeah, Braden, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
You only live like around the corner, so first when you got here, he goes, "Oh, he literally lives just down there."
Yeah,
I can pretty much walk here.
Cut off, yeah.
I thought he was saying he works just around the corner, but he actually lives just around the corner. All right, sweet. So yeah, man, if you want to just start out with telling our listeners anyway a little bit about you, how you start, like when you started, yep. What you're doing now.
So basically I started my apprenticeship back in school, working for two of my uncles. So I did my apprenticeship pretty much for till I was 21. I was signed off,
yeah,
qualified, and then I wanted to move into like the high end side,
yeah,
of our industry. So gave back to my uncles, 2 years with them, and then went to another company and then did a heap of high-end resi.
Yeah.
And then sort of just moved on to starting my own thing.
Yeah. So I seen in your thing there that the bricklaying. Tell us about that. You didn't want to go down that path, or?
No. So my old man's a bricklayer.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of that through school.
Yeah.
He always pushed me away from it because it's so hard on your body.
Obviously, yeah.
But it definitely taught me a lot.
Yeah. Like
hard work.
Yeah.
You're working out in the sun every day.
Yeah.
And it's it's definitely hard on your body.
Yeah. So there was you weren't ever like, "Oh, I'm gonna do an apprenticeship doing that," or anything.
I did,
like that.
But my dad was like, "Nah, you're doing something else." So yeah. I did try plumbing and then moved into electrical. So
yeah.
And then I sort of found the love for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Brothers or anything like that?
Have you no, I just got one sister. So yeah. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah.
All right. So talk to us about Zilco Electrical. Talk to us about when you originally first started out. So how old were you when you first started? You literally finished your apprenticeship and then you went straight in, or were you subbing? How did that whole transition go?
Finished my apprenticeship when I was 21.
Yeah.
And then it was only in 2022.
Yeah.
I decided to do my own thing.
Yeah.
So I've only been doing it just over 2 years now.
Yeah. And what sort of jobs, like what sort of jobs were you doing back then? Were you doing
When I first started out, I subbed back to my old boss just to finish a project that I was doing.
Yep.
So I did that for about 2 months.
Yeah.
Just 3 days a week, just here and there. And then, pretty much just from there, just all my relationships that I grew back in my old company, I just started pulling strings here and there, reaching out to people.
Yep.
And, just picked up a heap of work that way. And that's sort of all my clientele now is...
Yeah.
From back, yeah, from people that I've met along my
yeah. So fast journey. Forward to now. So obviously that's a quick, you know, 24 months.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
All right, guys, congratulations. You're halfway through this episode. I hope you guys are really enjoying it. But first, I just want to make a special thank you to Ideal Group Australia. Without them, I wouldn't be able to bring this podcast to you. So special thank you. I hope you guys are enjoying it. Buckle in and get ready to listen to the end of this episode.
So fast forward to now. What does Zilco look like now?
So it's just me and one other at the moment.
Yep.
Looking for more staff because I've got that much work on, which is a good problem to have.
Yep.
But yeah, we're definitely, our market is the super high end residential.
Working for builders, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, which is, it's enjoyable, but it can get pretty, there's a lot of emotion involved when it comes to resi.
Yeah.
So it can get hard at times, but it's definitely a challenge, but it's a good challenge. I really like it. So
And what sort of gave you the drive, like when you were first looking at going out on your own? Because you could easily just stay with your boss or just stayed subbing, like you know, what sort of drawn you that? Was it more the flexibility? Did you want to, you know, or you just like, what was the driving force of that? Was that your old man having his own bricklaying company that you've always just
it was I guess it was a bit of both. Like I always thought that was like there definitely is a little bit more flexibility.
Yeah.
But you've got to put in the work. There's a lot more work.
Yeah.
You got to put in, and I just wasn't really getting that when I was working for someone else.
Yeah.
I was putting in a lot of work, but I didn't feel like it was getting, like I wasn't getting rewarded for all the effort I was putting in.
Yeah.
So no, yeah, just decided it was like probably like a 12-month period where I was at work, and I was like, I should be doing this myself. Like, I'm putting in all this work, I'm doing everything.
Yeah.
So then I was just like, one day I just was like, yeah, I'm going to go do my own thing.
Yeah.
And it's been the best decision of my life. Like,
yeah.
At the start, it was a little bit hard because I just bought a house, like just through COVID, just bought a house.
Yeah.
Then I decided to drop the knee.
Yeah.
So there's that. So now I'm planning for a wedding and everything. And then obviously going out on your own, starting your own business, it's a pretty big risk if you don't have the work there. So the start was...
And the banks never look at you the same.
Yeah, they don't. So like I had to sort of do it in a process because I bought a house. I had to buy like, get the car in my personal name and all that sort of stuff. And then, move forward. And So, but it's working out. It's it's definitely working out.
No, that's good, man. Like I tell you, like you've obviously, from the outside looking in, like obviously I don't know all the ins and outs, but it looks good, man. Like the setup that you've got now and like what you're doing on socials and stuff like that looks professional. I think you're hitting your target market and stuff like that. So, All right. So I don't want to jump too far ahead in regards to what it looks like now. I know that it's obviously been a fast journey for you, but what I sort of want to give, because a lot of our listeners are apprentices and stuff like that. Yep. Talk to us about your apprenticeship. What were some of the stuff that you were mainly doing through that, and how was that experience?
My apprenticeship was good. My uncles are very old school.
Yeah.
So I definitely learned a lot through them.
Yeah.
We did a lot of like house bashing back in the day.
Yeah.
But we did get a lot of varieties from like solar to aircons, cleaning aircons, just like pretty much everything.
Yeah.
I started doing that, and then sort of got over the whole house bashing. Like it's the same stuff every day.
Yeah.
We're doing a lot of kilometers.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the new estates, it was like Rochdale, Coomera.
Yeah.
Like all over the place, South Ripley. So it was a lot of...
So it taught you speed.
Yeah. So you had to be very efficient with what you were doing.
Yeah.
Which is good because you learn how to be fast and efficient. Yep. So and a lot of people can't do that, I don't think, these days.
Do you think it's easier going from that to finessing or going from finessing to speed?
Going from that one. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
See, I've found that with us as well.
Yeah.
I've found that a lot of people bash spec homes and doing that style of work. You know, I feel like the broader community and builders do it as well. They bash that.
Yeah.
But I feel like, as a business owner, I feel like it actually teaches the guys that have come from that environment. I personally go for it because I can teach you how to take your time and go a little bit slower and do this a little bit nicer.
Yeah.
Right? That's easy to tell someone to back, like hit the brakes and this needs to be perfect. But when someone's come from that and that's all they do is the slow, intricate stuff, that finesse stuff, to when you have to throw them on a job where they do have to pick up the speed, never fucking happens.
No, it doesn't.
Never happens. So, I personally like it when guys, like when I see a resume of a guy that's just been doing that, I'm like, yes, that's good. Cause I know he's efficient.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you definitely learn a lot doing that. I find like when you're doing your apprenticeship, you want to get a lot of variety, but, the resi side is like the house bashing that you definitely learn a lot.
Yeah.
On how to do things quick and whatnot. Like I had mates that were doing commercial at the same time, and like he spent the first 2 years of his time sweeping up and cutting zip ties.
Yeah.
So like you're not really getting much out of your apprenticeship when you're doing that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess everyone has their different what they want to do. So like some people like just doing their thing and getting out of there. So,
So let me ask you a question. So now run your own business. You've been doing it for a few years now.
Yeah.
Are you driving a Lamborghini and being able to play golf every second day and do whatever you want when you want, or are you right in the thick of it now?
You're right in the thick of it. Yeah. I thought I could at the start. I was going to go play golf every Friday, but that's not the case. I think I've done it probably two times.
Yeah,
and it's usually got to book it in advance as well. So
you earn less and work more.
You do.
Yeah, because I think if you really run your numbers on how many hours you work and what you got to do. How many phone calls?
And you break it down.
You break it down, right. You're earning what an apprentice earns.
Yeah, $24 an hour probably.
Yeah, you'd be lucky if you're even earning that.
Yeah.
All right, so, see, I'm just trying to get a grasp here. So, you finished your apprenticeship, you went to when you were qualified.
Yep.
Now, Zilco, Is that from your last name?
Yeah, yeah. So my last name is Zillman. So it was
No relation to Wilco?
No, so well.
See, I seen that the other day, and I was like, I wanted to ask you.
Yeah, me and Wilco back at our old company, so that's how we met each other. He was a foreman on one of our sites, and yeah, that's how we built that relationship. So yeah, he was one of my first builders. Yeah. We sort of went out at the same time.
Yeah. That's why I asked you about the brother, because I was like, oh, I wonder if these two are like.
It was pretty funny because his last name's Williams.
Yeah,
mine's Zillman, and then when we both come out, it was like Zilka, and I was like, hey. So we always joke about, like, he always says it's Wilco Group, and then I was like, no, mate, you're the sister company.
Yeah.
You work under me. So, yeah. But he's a really good guy, good builder to work for as well. So.
Yeah. All right. Now, what have been some of your challenges with starting out, niching down on that? You briefly, just brushed on, you just leaned on your relationships and et cetera, but... You know, people that are listening, they'll just go, oh, yeah, it's all good and well, just get your relationship. And, you're sweet. But tell us, like, there's other Sparkies out there in Brisbane.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you might have had the relationship, but how'd you go with the pricing? How'd you go with delivering the projects and all that sort of stuff? Like, you know.
So, back at my old company, I was soaking up a lot. I did spend like probably 3 months in the office because I had to get my ankle. I had surgery on my ankle with a motorbike incident. And so I spent a bit of time in the office there just learning the back end stuff, like the day to day. So like sort of how to run a business and whatnot, and doing takeoffs, quoting and all that sort of stuff. And then like whenever I could learn off someone, I would.
Yep.
And then I guess like just along the way, like no one teaches you.
Yeah.
There's so much, like so many things that you don't get taught. Like even just putting in an Energex portal or something, like you don't get taught that working for someone. So a lot of it's just on the fly, like learning to quote. It's a bit of a, just you sort of teach yourself along the way, but.
Yeah. Lose a bit of money and add that in next time. Yeah.
I never really sort of got to see the pricing from when I was working for people.
Yeah.
But I sort of knew the scale and I knew what everything, like I knew how much time went into these jobs.
Yeah.
And then I sort of just worked it out from there, like just chatting to other mates of mine that have been in business for like 5 to 6 years now.
Yep.
And then, you just sort of work it out along the way. And then my first job I did, I priced it, kept a spreadsheet and everything. And I come out on top, but that's not every job.
Yeah.
Like you win some, you sort of lose some, like.
Yeah.
I just sort of track it all.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, sweet. So you're very much still on the tools now, huh?
Every day, pretty much, 6-7 days a week,
And you've got any plans on, building your team out and
so
progressing down that path of growth, or are you happy just where you're at?
Nah, I'm definitely looking to put on more people as we speak, but it's just so hard to find people these days. And obviously everyone that's got a job is pretty happy with where they're at.
Yeah.
So it's like you've either got to steal them from someone or
Thing is, I think from what I've found as well, like this is more just my experience in regards to that, because I hear that all the time from heaps of different people, it's like people just want to be a part of something. They want, whether you're paying them 100 grand, 120 grand, your best guys are going to be the guys that aren't going to jump shit for $2. I mean? Because the thing is, if you go to them and you say, hey, listen, I'll give you an extra $5 an hour, you come work for me.
Yeah.
What's going to happen in 12 months' time when someone else approaches them and says, oh, listen, I'm going to give you $6 or an extra dollar, come work for me? They're just going to do the same shit.
Yeah.
So that's why I personally don't run that, because it's like, all right, you get the guy, but then, what's their loyalty like? Like, they're just probably going to fucking do it to you too. So I found, like, over time that your best guys are always going to be the ones that are with you, not for the fucking money. They're with you because they want to be with you.
Yeah.
And how do you get that is the golden question. I think it's just basically culture and just building out, like similar to the sort of stuff that you're already doing anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
And it just takes time. As you sort of already said, you got the work and you got the...
Just need the staff.
You just need the staff, yeah. So, but it's always going to be one way or the other. You're going to either have the staff and no work,
yeah,
or you're going to have the work and no staff. And that's just a constant fucking up and down of always. Like for us, we go through waves. November last year, couldn't get a single soul. Couldn't even get someone to sweep the floors, right? It was an employee market. Fast forward to now, times have changed. It's an employer market. I can get guys. But the issue is, as well, as everyone knows, the work is dipping down.
Yeah.
So, and I tend to find that is the case. The work picks up. It's an employee market. The work dips down. It's an employer market. So, like, for us, it's a constant battle of, you know, do you have the guys or do you have the work?
Yeah.
But anyway, we're getting a little bit off track. We're talking. For you guys that are listening, I don't know. There's probably guys that are listening that have got businesses as well that they would know exactly what the fuck we're talking about. So, yeah, man. All right. Fast forward. I got some questions here. Now, talk about some of the stuff, because obviously you're in the high-end space,
yeah.
Right? Talk to us about some of the concerns and poor workmanship that are in your space. You know what I mean? Have you trialed guys in the past? Have you seen poor workmanship before? You know, is that very common in that game?
Like, I've worked
going in at specky rates and then winning the project so they can post it on Instagram and then they just do a shit job and leave.
I haven't experienced it with myself yet, but like back when I was coming through my time, like I got to work with a lot of good people and a lot of bad people.
Yeah.
And some people just like just get it in and, you know, go home. Like they just don't take care. They don't clean up. That's how we get such a bad name, because there's so many like,
he doesn't own a broom, guys.
You pull a broom out. So whenever we sweep up, we just use the other end.
Yeah.
We beat it to the joke. So
yeah.
There's definitely a lot of people out there that have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
Just with just everything. Hey.
Yeah. And what do you think? Are you on the same? Because I've had this conversation with other guys from different trades and stuff. What's your thoughts in regards to the rates? And, you know, are you pricing your projects at a rate per meter, or are you per item, or how, or are you just doing it off your gut feel? Like, you know, for us, the industry rate, I find, is so cooked. You know what I mean? Like, we've had guys, I'm not going to name them and shame them, but we've had guys that run $1 million companies, super nice houses.
Yeah.
You get the rates, or you get what their allowance is. It's no different than I get doing stuff for one of the biggest builders in Australia.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the same shit. The only difference is that it's a nicer house.
Yeah. Personally, I don't put like a per point or anything. It's too hard with the resi stuff, because everything's not going to be the same. So like if you're pricing per point compared to like a spec home or whatever, it's pretty easy because it's all easy work, timber frame. But when you're coming into the high-end market, there's a lot of off-form concrete.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of time in just set up.
Yeah.
So you can't really put a price to just like a fixed item. Well, that's how I personally price it. So I'm very old school in the way that I sort of break it down into my hours and my materials.
Yeah.
So I go through with like my temporary power, deck work, like site establishment, break it all down like that, and then rough in, cut out, all that sort of stuff. So and I just throw, all depends on the builder as well, and depends on
10% on top, it's done. I'm gonna walk away with 100 grand. Yeah, watch me, babe.
That's pretty much.
Yeah.
And then obviously hourly rate changes depending on the people I'm working for as well.
Yeah.
So if it's a builder that gives me a lot of work, like I'll adjust my price and hit and whatnot.
Look
so,
out for him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and if it's a builder that you're a little bit cautious of,
if I've never done work for them or anything, I'll always come in probably a little bit higher.
Yeah.
And see, because they always try to pull you back.
So talk to us. Biggest accomplishment or biggest job that you're probably most proud of, which one was that?
Today,
because obviously you're still only starting out, you know what I mean? Like today, what's probably the biggest project you're
Probably my most biggest proud one of? Would have been back at my old company.
Yeah.
That was a bloody big house. Mm. So that was back through ACOT Electrical, and then it was built by Grayer. So up in Scarborough, which was called Sea Change.
Yeah.
This place is just a concrete jungle.
Yeah.
It was bloody unreal to do. There's just like there was kilometers of cable there. Like
oh
it was
yeah, sick.
Massive. Like the pool was suspended. The pool was worth more than my house, I think. So. It was
just a shopping center.
Basically, and for two people to live in there.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty. It was a good like an unreal job to do.
Yeah.
And that was the job I got to finish off.
Yeah.
When I first started out. So. Yeah.
So you've seen that one through to the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I when I finished up at my last company, it was, like that job was coming towards the end, so I was,
yeah,
I wanted to see it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a good build to be a part of. Learned a lot.
Yeah.
And yeah, to stand back at there like the finished product and look back and see like that's what you did was pretty proud. So
yeah, sick. All right, biggest, I wouldn't say cock up, the biggest mistake that you've made to date.
To date?
Missed items on a quote. Wrongly employed guy.
Probably not reading the fine print in contracts.
Yeah.
which is obviously something that you don't really learn, but you sort of learn along the way.
Yeah.
That's probably been my biggest thing so far.
Yeah.
Is not reading the fine print.
Yeah. Yeah, when you go through, you win the job, and then they go, oh, yeah, no worries, you send your invoice in, and they go, yeah, we'll pay it in 6 weeks. And you go, wait, what? Oh, you didn't read it? It says 30 days, end of month.
Yeah, well, like them holding retention and all that sort of stuff. Like,
oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Just that sort of stuff. And then, yeah, like, obviously, I'm invoicing, so, like, you sort of say, like, you go out and you call the shots, but when you come work for those big builders, it's usually end of the month, and then it can be 5 weeks from there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I always, because we deal with a lot of big builders, and but I personally hate the retention. I usually cross it out, and we don't roll retention at all, because my way of thinking is like, this is how I look at it. And if there's going to be builders out there going to go, you don't fucking do blah, 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 right? But how I look at it is that I'll do retention on the first one.
Yeah.
That's fine. Say goodbye to it. You're never going to see it. There's going to be some fucking thing later down the track. You watch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Out of all the jobs I've done over the last 8 years, I could probably list on one hand the amount that I've received in retention back.
Yeah.
Right? In full. Most of the time it gets chopped for something. Oh, you know, this was wrong. We had to fix this. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I get how the game goes. So that's why I rule it out. And how I roll now is I say to the builders, all right, look, we'll do retention on the first one. If everyone's happy at the end, then we pull retention moving forward, because I never see it anyway.
Yeah.
It's gone.
I haven't seen a job out yet where
I've had it. And you've got release clauses for tension. Yeah. Like, you know, you got a clause in there, like how you actually receive it back. What do you need to make sure that you give them, et cetera, et cetera. List goes on and on and on. And I personally think it's a big fucking joke. But, you know, I get why they got to put it in there. I get why builders have got to do it, because they got to hold something over your head and blah, 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 blah. Right? So, I don't know. That's just for me. I feel like if you build the relationship with that builder and it's solidified and it's good, they know what you do, you know what they do, everyone works, I feel like you shouldn't need it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're doing more work from them, as if you wouldn't go back and help me out. Like, if there's things that need to be done, you're going to do it.
Yeah.
But I feel like once I get chopped on retention, that to me, that pretty much burns the relationship. Because I'm like, well, you know what I mean? What was the excuse this time?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I had to clean this up. Or, you know, we found in 6 months after you left that this was buckled and you didn't come back and do it, but then you weren't in the country or you were doing something. Yeah, there's always fucking something.
Something silly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember finding out, like, my biggest ones were payment terms. Like, I remember I did a large project, like a large contractual project. It was probably like 680. Yep. And this was back when like I was, like, cash flow was super tight. We were getting hit with massive tax, but like relevant to back then.
Yeah.
And I fucking missed that the payment terms were 45 days in the contract. And I sent my invoice in. 2 weeks later, I sent him a reminder. I said, oh, listen, when's that getting paid? Oh, it's getting paid on this date. I looked at the date. I went, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then she messaged back and went, oh, it's in the contract. I went, oh.
Yeah.
So.
And it would get hard with a few blokes as well.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, times get easier now. Like, it, you know, you can mitigate that now. But it's, as you said, it's all learn as you go, you know. You gotta walk that path, and hopefully you come out through the other side unscathed and no bills and not owing anyone anything.
Yeah.
Because they will hold it over your head. And that's my experience with it. So read the fucking fine print if you guys are listening.
Definitely.
And you guys are going out there on your own, read the fine print. All right, so obviously you've only got one, so he's an apprentice at the moment?
No, he's a tradie. So
tradie.
He was one of my apprentices back at our old company.
Yep.
And yeah, he was.
Yep.
We share the same birthday. And we're like,
oh, really, sweet. Well, yeah. Then you're both off on the same day. Yeah.
And we're really good. We're really good mates outside of work as well. He's a couple of years younger than me,
yeah.
But
yeah, not a business. No ownership to the business or anything like that.
No. He purely wanted to, just wanted to change the scenery. Yeah, sick. And so yep. It sort of worked out well when I needed a hand.
So how are you going down the path of leadership now? Right, because obviously working with someone and owning a business, it's a completely different fucking relationship now. Right, leading, mentoring him, relationships, being a little bit more of an extrovert, not an introvert.
Yeah,
all these other things. Like, how are you going? Like, how's that journey been?
Yeah, it's going well. Like,
yeah,
I don't really like speaking.
Yeah.
So like having all those tough conversations with him or builders and that, it's definitely brought me out of my shell a little bit more. So like you've got to sort of, you own a business, how you sort of got to put your business pants on and get out there. So but no, it's been good. Like I sort of laid it on the line to him at the start. Like he told me what he wanted and I told him this is like what I expect out of you, and like you just let me know. Like we're both adults, so if it ever comes to a tough conversation, we're going to sit down and talk about it.
Yeah,
we're not going to let our friendship get in the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, on the like the managing side of things, like I haven't done any sort of like any courses or anything. It's sort of just
learn as you go.
Learn as you go. My partner, she did business and all that sort of stuff at through uni, so she always gives me a lot of advice.
Yeah. And what's her plan? Like, are you planning on is she planning on stepping in? Like,
she's got her own career she wants to chase. So she does interior design.
Okay.
But she helps me with all like the back end stuff. Yep. So writing emails, like you don't get. Yeah.
So a lot of people don't know about your partner might actually be involved, but they're your biggest consultant. Just consult with them about everything. You know what I mean?
She's real good with like the spreadsheets and all that. So she definitely teaches me a lot. Without her, I don't know how I'd be quoting and whatnot. So she does a lot of the back end stuff and really helps me and points me in the right direction.
Yeah. Leadership has probably been like the biggest thing, like for me. That's like 100% been the biggest, not hurdle, but just the hardest thing to do, is because when you get to a point, you got, an example is you got 20 employees, every single employee's got a different way of thinking, you'll go through the same thing, you know what I mean? It's some people have got different religions.
Yeah.
They like and dislike different things, You can't always have a business function where you go to the pub because some guys don't drink.
Yeah.
And these are all the things that I've had to learn to go through, and going from 4 to 10 or 4 to 40 is a completely different, because as you said, he's your mate.
Yeah.
You guys share the same birthday, you're best mates. But inevitably, as a business owner, you'll get to the point where you're not everyone's your mate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that whole like buddy-buddy system no longer stands up. So, leadership's huge. Managerial style's huge, and having different guys in position as well, and releasing the reins, but these are all the exciting things to come.
Look forward to.
It's gonna be sick.
Letting go.
Oh man, it's gonna be sick. Oh, how are we going? Yeah, good. All right, sweet. Well, we've got like a bit of a segment here where we just like to ask you a few questions. Now don't get me wrong, don't be worried, they're all relevant to you. So what's your favorite tool on the job site?
Probably the broom.
We all know that's a fucking lie. You gotta own one.
I don't even have one. You gotta own one. Actually. Yeah. I don't know.
Probably, he sweeps up with $100 bills, guys.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Pliers.
Yeah.
And get you out of trouble.
Oh yeah, sick.
Pliers are good.
Yeah. I used to tip for you apprentices, right? Apprentice to apprentice things. I used to, when I was an apprentice, I used to go around to the Sparkies because once, correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys usually strip cable with pliers, right? If you hit a live wire, I don't know if it's very common now, but when I was an apprentice, some Sparkies, if you have a fucking $100 set of pliers and you nick a live cable of some sort and it chips the fucking edge of it, they're fucked, right? Yeah. You guys don't like to use them because now it's got a nick in the side of it.
Yeah, and then you can't trip cable very well.
Exactly. So I used to go around and say, oi, listen, you got any fucked pliers? And they'd give me like a $100 set of pliers that have like a little nick in it. So I was like, yep, sweet. So yeah, well, and obviously if you borrow a Sparky's pliers and you fucking dint or break that little thing on the side of it, they'll fucking rip you. All right. Oh, here we go. What's been some of your pet peeves with chippies in your high, in your, you know, in your experience at the moment in the high res space? Are you, you know?
I've had a pretty good...
You had a pretty good
pretty
run.
Pretty good run with a lot of them. Yeah. So a lot of them have turned into really good mates. So yeah, they've always, we've always worked together.
Yeah.
But I guess when they sort of start stepping into... When they start moving up the chain a little bit.
Yeah.
Start coming to them for answers and it's a little bit harder to get out of them.
Yeah.
Exactly what you need to do. Yeah. But I can't really... Yeah.
Never wanted to be a chippy. Always wanted to be a sparky.
I don't mind building stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I just didn't really...
Yeah.
I never really trialed it through school or anything. So I didn't really... Yeah. Go down that path, but I do like building stuff. I'll definitely give it a crack.
Yeah, sick.
But yeah, no, I can't really bag them out.
Yeah,
probably they're bad jokes and they're same jokes. So
oh mate, there's not much between the ears, you know. They've only got a handful of jokes in their head.
Yeah.
All right, what's the most satisfying part of your job at the moment?
I guess it's standing at the end product and looking back and just thinking like, you've done that, and then the clients obviously really thanking you and everything, so
yeah. Alright, name one thing that you can't start your day without. Are you much of a morning person, like morning routine, baths?
That's not me but probably a Monster. I don't really drink coffee.
Sugar free.
That's sort of thing that I drink, I probably should grow up soon, but start drinking coffee.
Yeah, he sips that, plays his Xbox,
and then
eats cereal for dinner.
All right, sweet.
What's the best piece of advice that you've been given from someone? Because obviously you work with some pretty established companies out there, and you're in talks with some guys that are pretty successful in their own right.
Probably just don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah. Easier said than done, isn't it?
It is, but I definitely think like, if you don't sweat the small stuff, your life can move forward.
Yeah. Until you get that tax bill and you look at it and you go, how am I going to fucking pay this?
Yeah. You know what I mean? You always come up with a way to pay it though.
Yeah. Excuse me, mate, can I borrow some money?
Yeah.
All right. All right, what's one thing that's misunderstood about electricians, obviously, other than they don't clean up after themselves?
Misunderstood about them? It's a great question.
Other than you guys, you know, I feel like for the most part, like, I feel like electricians, because we've had some electricians on now, and I feel like they get not a bad rap in the industry. You sort of do, but like, it's more just, I feel like it's this thing about, you know, oh, you know, they get to fucking, they charge whatever they want. Now, let me tell you guys something. Yes, going back about 10 years ago, I feel like it used to be like that, right?
Yeah.
Sparkies predominantly used to charge a lot more. Fast forward to now, it's all the fucking same.
I can pay
the same rate that I'm paying my guy, my chippies, at the same rate that other sparkies are getting.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't feel like that's the case anymore. I feel like, yes, it used to be, but now I feel like it's the same. I feel like everyone's sort of increased their rate.
Yeah.
Chippies have gone up.
Plumbers.
Yeah, plumbers have gone up. Everyone's fucking expensive.
Yeah.
You know? And on charge rates, like if we're talking on charge rates, it's not uncommon now for a contracting company, even in carpentry, to on charge their guys at 100, 120 bucks an hour.
Yeah.
And for builders to accept it. You know what I mean? Because chippies now are just as hard to get as sparkies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's becoming like that. So, you know, I feel like that's why they got a little bit of a bad rap. But
we always get a lot of stick. Everyone thinks we make millions of dollars, but.
Yeah.
It's not always the case, is it?
You just turn to them and be like, yeah, just keep talking while I go get my Lambo.
Yeah, right? we do give it back to them on site.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. So do you subby out any of your work? Because I see that you do some large projects. Surely you can't, are you just doing them just with you and one other? Or do you subby out like
any of
your stuff? Like how does that work?
So yeah, pretty much my first full year by myself, I was just doing as much as I could.
Yeah.
What
did your weeks look like?
That were massive. Just yeah. like pretty much 7 days a week.
Yeah.
It was just back to back. Just yeah.
Yeah.
Just 6:30. Well, whenever I could get in, really.
Yeah.
Early starts, late finishes.
Yeah. Every day.
Just doing as much as I could.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, went back at my old company. I was doing all the houses that I'm doing now.
Yeah.
Back through them, so I sort of know how they all run.
Yeah.
And you can get a lot done with two efficient people. So yeah. So far it's been pretty good, but yeah. I'm gonna see, like at the moment, like a lot of my projects, they're still all coming out of the ground.
Yeah.
But there's been a lot of delays this year with rain and then, you know, other things that come in the building industry. So they're all starting to pile up on each other. So I'll have to let you know how that goes.
Yeah.
But so far it's been pretty good. You just got to stay on top of it.
Yeah.
Just
no kids yet.
No kids. Just
just
a dog. But
yeah.
He's full time.
Yeah,
he's full on as well.
Yeah. So. Oh, there's nothing yet. But I guess that's the other thing as well, you know what I mean? Like, I guess the benefit of bringing in more people will eventually relieve that strain. Because, like, for me personally, I went down the path, the same thing, fucking long hours, man. You're doing 60, 70 hours a week. That's normal. You're working Saturdays, every Saturday.
Yeah.
You're trying to work public holidays if you can, say goodbye to your weekends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're starting early, you're finishing late. That's fucking normal. That's all part of it. You know, but as you get through it a little bit more, I think for me, especially with the birth of my first daughter, that was one thing where I was just like, I can't do this. Like, literally, I couldn't. So I had to back off that fucking thing and, work things out as it went. Because, you can't continue to do 70, 80 hours a week.
Yeah.
It'll fucking fry you.
Definitely, yeah. And you don't want to burn your employees out as well.
You know what I mean? Like, guys will only do it for so long.
Yeah.
Like,
they'll get over it.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. So, all right. Well, I think that was a nice little short one. And, Braden, I want to thank you for coming on, man. I know you're only just starting out.
Yep.
And I feel like I feel like you're going to build a juggernaut of a business. And in 5-10 years' time, you know what I mean? We'll run this back and we'll look at this and you'll go, oh, fuck. Like, there's only two of us. Fuck, now we got 20. So, man, I want to thank you for coming on. And, given the guys, the young guys that are out there, because I know we've got some young apprentices that are, you know, even in the Sparky space that are thinking about going on their own. I want to thank you for sharing your story to date anyway, because unlike everyone else that we've interviewed, you know, they're already either not past their story, but they're on the back end of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Going fishing every weekend.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Bit more established.
Yeah. A bit more established. Yeah. You know what I mean? But for you, you're literally
just starting
at the start.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I guess the only last thing that I want to ask you is, have you got any advice for guys that are literally, you know, you're right in it. See, for guys that are more established, you almost forget, right? You almost forget what it was like when you first got started. So, you know, have you got any advice for those
guys? Just work hard and just stick at it, and
everything
will turn out the way you want it to, I guess. Put in the work and you'll get rewarded at the end of it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, and don't sweat the small things.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Righto, guys. All right, thank you again for tuning into another episode. And we'll catch you on the next one.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's episode. If something hit home for you, it would mean the absolute world to us if you could like and share this podcast with someone else that would benefit from it. Tune into next week's episode, as this will be one that you don't want to miss.